It's showtime, folks. Welcome in, Chase and Big Joe. 102.5, 106.3, the game. Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier on the ones and twos as well. Hope you're having an awesome start to your Tuesday. Keep an eye to the sky today. Going to get a little bumpy. We'll keep you posted on everything throughout the day. Keep you weather aware, but definitely good to do that and keep a communication device handy. So we'll be watching out for that. JoJo, what's up?
What's going on, man? Yeah, it's always you feel that in the air this morning. It's hot. It's humid. And so just be careful out there. It always changes every 15, 20 minutes what's going to happen weather-wise. But, you know, if they're all – I mean, they started predicting this like a week ago. So just be careful out there today. I'll never forget one time. It was November 2002. Titans were playing the Texans. And that's when the big tornado came through Manchester and McMinnville, that area. And it was 92 degrees. At 1 o'clock in the afternoon in November, I was like, this is not good.
No, yeah. Well, and it's hot today. Yep. Like, it's hot and it's humid. And I'm like, I walked out of the house this morning. I'm like, oh, this isn't good.
No, not at all. So I hope that doesn't impact everybody going down to see the Preds.
The last big weather event, storm wise, that we had, you and I were in Key West.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. All of our friends and, you know, people back here losing property and things. And we're down there covering the Titans in Miami. I'm like, oh, okay, this is great. So it's wonderful feeling helpless like that when you're so far away.
I know. So hopefully everything is good. But like I said, we will keep you updated on the weather later on throughout the show and throughout the rest of the day here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. You mentioned it, the Predators back in town tonight, the Boston Bruins. Going to be a really, really important game for them after the last two games. But hopefully they can get back to their winning ways. We'll talk to Hal Gill coming up at 9:30. It is also the home opener for the Nashville Sounds. Their manager, Rick Sweet, going to join us at 10 o'clock today.
Yeah.
Great mustache, that Rick Sweet.
Does he? Oh, man. That's baseball. So it's good. So winters. I mean, I told you, the summertime began yesterday, April 1st. You know, let's start the process. Baseball's here. Let's have a lot of fun, man. So it's here. Good. You know, we got through the doldrums of January and February, and now March is gone, and here's April.
Also, so yesterday, you know, we did the I named the Daytona 500 winners.
Right.
Well, it inspired the suit. So the suit made some calls, and later on today, I'm going to have your chance to win a pair of tickets to the Geico 500 at the Talladega Super Speedway.
Oh, okay.
Coming up April 21st, later this month. You're going to have to answer a NASCAR trivia question.
Sure.
So, you know, we were a little inspired, so we'll be giving away couple pairs of tickets to the Geico 500 later in the show.
Now, when is that race?
April 21st.
Ah, just right on the corner.
Yeah.
3 weeks. 2 weeks.
You ever been to Talladega?
I have not. I've been by there.
I think you would enjoy it. I went there. The year I went, it was a crazy weekend down there because the Iron Bowl was in Tuscaloosa. It happened to fall on the same weekend. So the Iron Bowl was in Tuscaloosa. It wasn't the Iron Bowl. It was Tennessee. That's what it was. It was Tennessee, Alabama was in Tuscaloosa, and then the race was at Talladega.
Oh, goodness. It took 15 hours to get 2 hours on the road?
Yeah, I mean, like, I couldn't get through Birmingham to save my life. It was inundated with Vols fans and NASCAR fans and Bama fans.
All that Talladega, I remember Bobby Hamilton won there, right, 1 year, when it was like the 499. What was that called back then?
The Aaron's 499?
Yeah, was that what he won? Yeah.
Yeah.
Bobby Hamilton won that.
Yeah, there was not a caution in the race.
Yeah.
Yeah. Long. It was like one of the most boring Talladega races ever.
Long time ago. It'd be fun. I think that's a huge track in the middle of nowhere, but that'd be fun to go.
It is the largest track on the circuit. Largest oval on the circuit. 2.6 miles, I think.
Goodness.
Yeah. That's, very wide turns.
How big's Daytona?
Two and a half. So it's slightly bigger.
Now, how big's Bristol?
A half mile.
Oh, nice.
What are we doing this again?
I'm just curious to know.
Yeah, the unique thing about Talladega is I'm not going to tell you because that might be the trivia question.
Oh, no.
But there is a unique thing about Talladega.
It's in Alabama?
Well, yeah, but that's not it.
Let me think what else. Good trivia question. I don't know. I have to figure it out.
Okay.
Something like
that. We'll ask it later on in the show. Did you watch some of the Elite Eight last night between Iowa and LSU?
I watched about 75% of that game.
Yeah.
That was fantastic.
Yeah.
I'm just amazed how she is such, Caitlin Clark is such just a pure, true shooter. And it's just, I mean, you can't stop her. I mean, it's amazing. I mean, they put people on her and all the screens and everything and try to stop her, and you can't stop her.
I feel like, how could you not like her? Like, I know there's going to be that group that doesn't like her because she wins, and, you know, it's just like people hate people that win.
Right.
But,
yeah,
you know, like I look at LSU, and LSU's kind of become the villains, yeah, mainly because of their coach. And look, I think Kim Mulkey's kind of, she's kind of crazy, but I mean, she's obviously a hell of a coach.
Her whole career. Yeah,
right. I mean, she, you know, maybe, and crazy's the wrong word. I mean, she speaks her mind. That's, yep, for sure. And
she's,
people
animated.
Don't like that. She's animated. Yeah. I mean, she's, you know, and you can make the argument, well, she makes it about her and everything. Well, you know, I mean, that personality rubs off on the team.
Hey, newsflash, all coaches try to make it about them.
Sure.
Whether they want to or not. Yeah, I just, that's fine. I mean, it was a great game. The atmosphere was good. It reminded me, I tweeted out last night, of a Big East Classic game in the 80s when just two juggernauts went at each other, and, you know, you're waiting for that next run to come that LSU thought they were going to go on. They didn't go on it, but it was great, man. I really enjoyed watching that game, and she, what, put in 41 last night?
Yeah.
Crazy. Crazy.
Yeah. I mean, it was a tremendous performance by her and by Iowa, so they advance, and the defending champions are out. And then, obviously, the surprise of the day from women's basketball was Kelly Harper being let go at Tennessee.
Yeah.
Did not see that one coming.
No, I thought maybe one more year.
Yeah.
I read somewhere she's only recruited two high school players in the last couple of years. It's all transfer portal stuff.
Yeah.
Man, that's this portal thing. It's just
Well, look, I mean, there is a standard at Tennessee. You know, obviously football has to be good. Basketball has to be, you know, at least a tournament team every
right.
year. There is a standard that was set by Pat Summitt that women's basketball is competing for championships, and they haven't done it since Pat Summitt was here.
I think now you get away from the tree.
I would agree.
Get away from
the tree. Don't pretend to be an expert on who the best coaches are in women's basketball, so I rely on other people. And Jared is very well connected. He spent a lot of time with the Louisville basketball program. He has said it. I've heard others say it. Jeff Wall seems to be the one that they need to go after.
Who's that?
He's the head coach at Louisville. And and that, you know, he's run a very good program. But I agree. I mean, look, we all love Pat Summitt. We all respect Pat Summitt. Her legacy will always live on at that university. Everybody's right. got a Pat Summitt story. Nobody's denying that. But I agree. You know, it's time to go find – you know, someone that's from the outside, but will also honor that legacy at the same time. But this program, there is a standard, and they haven't lived up to the standard. Now, I don't necessarily agree with the move to, you know, that they made yesterday. I thought that Kelly Harper, you know, had done a good job, but it hadn't been good enough. And so, you know, Danny White, he didn't hire her, so this is his program, and
that's right.
He's gonna go get his person.
Yep, she gets a $2.2 million take care of yourself, and she'll be fine. She'll find another head coaching job down the pike there. But I think you get away from the tree now, and you tried it with Holly Warlick, now with Kelly Harper, Jolly, and you just go out and find the best coach out there, and whoever that may be, and plug it in. You're right, there is a standard there with the Lady Vols, and hopefully find the right person to take over that program as well.
Well, you want to stay away from trees today with the storms too, so.
Man.
Yeah. Definitely want to do that.
Just when you think you turn a corner,
just
man.
When you think you got me figured out.
And
just
you
when
are.
You think you know all the answers, I changed the question.
You just did, pal. And so well
Roddy
done.
Piper.
Can we put the question
out? Go ahead.
And do it now?
Put the question out.
All right, so the Boston Bruins are coming to town tonight. What team that comes to our town do you always go see that you love? You know, I know we love the Preds and the Titans, but what team, when it comes to town, will you take time out and go see them? Like the Bruins, I know a lot of people tonight are going to go see the Preds game because I know probably about 10 people because the Bruins are in town. So what team comes to town that you'll go see no matter what when they come to Nashville? I got, you know, it's crazy.
Mine's very easy.
There are a bunch of New York Islander fans in town. That when they come, we've become such a melting pot here, they'll go to those games. I think it's great that the Boston Bruins are in town. Again, Chase, we've talked about this. We grew up in Nashville. In fact, we got a hockey team, an NFL team here, and to see like the original six of Boston, which I think they're the original six, aren't they?
Yes.
I think, okay, yeah. And to see Boston come to town. So what team is it that you always go see when they come to town? 615-737-1025.
Mine is the Detroit Red Wings.
Why is that?
Because I just love the old rivalry that they had, and that's really when I got into the Predators, when I can't remember what year it was. 06, 07, I think, was San Jose. It was somewhere in there. They played the Red Wings and lost, but it was the next year. I think it was 07, 08 that they Dominik Hasek, they ran him out. That was his last game. And I just remember those rivalry games and, you know, beating them 8-0 and just what that was like. And so and I obviously missed a lot before that. So it's just always been fun to go to the Red Wings games.
Mine is the Pittsburgh Steelers. Whenever the Steelers come to town, I'll work for so long covering the team, but I'll put my sign in it just to see the Steelers. That's the thing of like, wow, it's really cool to see this iconic football franchise in town, and it would be the Steelers. But it could be anything that you see that comes to town to even the – what's the Braves AAA affiliate?
Gwinnett Stripers.
Yeah, even if they come down, doesn't matter.
Yeah, I go see them.
Yeah,
for sure. You know, football. I mean, obviously the Cowboys. You know, whenever they come in every 8 years or whatever it is. But
were you at the game and Haynesworth stepped on Andre Girard's head?
I was. That was the first time I saw the Cowboys live.
Oh, that's cool.
So significance of that game was that was Vince's first start, I think.
06, yeah.
Or was that the game that he went in? I think it was his first start. And then it was Bledsoe's second-to-last start before Romo took over.
Wow.
So Romo was the backup.
It was a beautiful day, too. Beautiful day for stepping on heads.
It was. I have a picture. It's a blurry old, you know, camera from 2006, but I have a picture of Jeff Fisher trying to hold Haynesworth back.
Right. It's funny because that picture is – it's like a tugboat trying to hold back a giant barge. He was just gigantic. That was, I think he got suspended six games.
Six games,
that?
Yeah. Yeah.
That was Young's first start, by the way.
Okay. That's what I thought.
What day was that? Do you know?
October 1st, 2006.
So that's the year they started out 0-6. The Titans did that year.
No. 0-6 or 1-5?
I think they were 0-6 that year in 2006. I think it was. And then Casey Kramer blocked a punt against the Redskins, and they won that game up in D.C.
Well, because remember, when Vince took over, he had – was it Arizona? He had that come-from-behind win.
That was 09. He had the Giants. Remember the Giants game?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I knew there was a game his rookie year.
Started out 0-5.
0-5.
0-5. And then he won Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. He also got to the Pro Bowl, which is
– well, you remember how he got to the Pro Bowl?
Somebody got injured.
Do you remember who got injured?
Brady.
No. He gave it up. He was hurt, and he gave up his spot so Vince could go.
McNair?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Wow. Goodness.
Yep. So that was 2006.
Woo! Boy, step back in time.
What a memory I have.
Yes, you got a big memory there, buddy.
We're up and running here on this Tuesday, 615-737-1025. That is our phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. You can weigh in on the conversation and join us here on the Chase and Big Joe Show, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game on this Tuesday. Hanging out, we'll talk to Hal Gill coming up in a few minutes. We are broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Excited to have Busy Bee on board with us now and sponsoring our studio. And also, by the way, we've been doing some work around here, you know, around our area.
Yeah.
Shout out to Ben and his crew at Eurostone. Redid our kitchen, redid the bathrooms. For those of you that have been to Bridgestone Arena, you've seen Eurostone, seen their ads a lot. You've seen the billboards. So glad to partner up with them. They have the Eurostone Club at Bridgestone Arena, which is where our seats are, and all their countertops and everything, just beautiful, beautiful countertops. And so they got that done. So shout out to them. Appreciate it. They have made our space look a lot nicer.
Our kitchen. Can you imagine by replacing the cabinets there? It looks fantastic.
Oh, it's all – I mean, the cabinets, the countertops, everything. And now that that's done, you all are not allowed in the kitchen anymore. So
when I saw Crown Molding up there, I was like, wait, we got Crown Molding?
Oh, yeah, we're classy. That's we're fancy. A classy joint now.
I mean, they're in and out in no time. If you tasked me with building the kitchen, those cabinets, it would take me years. I told you, I would be the worst pioneer.
It took less than 2 days.
Yeah. If I was in Little House on the Prairie, I would have died in one day.
Yeah. Because
I can't build anything. I can't hunt. These guys were in and out in no time at all and made it look amazing. So thank God. Thank God I was born in the 1900s. That way I could, again, if I was in Little House on the Prairie, I would be done. It would be episode one, Joe dies.
Yeah, but they did a fantastic job. They took the old cabinets out, the old counters out, put the new ones in. Put the countertops back on, put new faucets. I mean, it's great.
Yeah.
So
that's where we had our discussion last week about cabinets and
presidential
cabinets. And
it went from a different kind of cabinet. But, you know,
we went down that road through that. Did you see where Carson Wentz is back in the NFL? Did you see who he signed with?
I did see that. He's going to. So not only did I see that, but the headline was new backup for Mahomes.
Right.
Carson Wentz. Like, are we really?
I mean, he's terrible.
I mean, I guess that's the – but what would be hilarious, like I don't want anyone to get hurt, but like week one, you got to go to wins for four games.
Then they go 1-16. I mean, he's a terrible quarterback. That just shows you how, you know, precious that position is because there's not enough good quarterbacks out there. That's why Burrow and Mahomes, those guys, make $50, $60 million a year because you see why.
Right.
You see this thing about Dak Prescott? They said, I think his contract's coming up. If he can lead the Cowboys to some type of championship game or to a championship, he might be the $100 million quarterback. I can't imagine Dak Prescott being the $100 million quarterback.
I feel like the Cowboys are about to rebuild. They didn't do – well, no, I mean, the signs are pointing that way. They didn't do anything this year, you know, free agency-wise. They're – basically not negotiating with Dak right now. McCarthy's in a lame duck year. He's out after this year. So I wouldn't be surprised.
This is when their back's against the wall. They rally and they win. So good luck to your Cowboys win the Super Bowl next year.
So here are the quarterbacks for the Chiefs. Obviously Patrick Mahomes.
Yep.
Ian Book, the former Notre Dame quarterback.
Okay.
Who is exactly? This one will make you go, who? Chris Oladokun, South Dakota State. You loved him at South Dakota State.
Right. I'm sure you pronounced that name correctly.
Probably. So. and then Carson Wentz.
Man, this shows you. That's why people bitching about the Titans and Mason Rudolph. He's a serviceable quarterback.
He is. But, I mean, it shows you that there should be a premium on backup quarterback.
Right.
Like Joe Flacco getting the money he got. Shows you that it's like, hey, backup quarterback's important. Now, they obviously look at what he did last year. He was the comeback player of the year. But, you know, backup quarterback is immensely important, especially after we saw last year so many starters got hurt.
Yeah, exactly right. So, I mean, who would you rather have, Carson Wentz or Mason Rudolph? I mean, come on. You hear Callahan talk about.
That's a really good question.
No, there's no.
Well, it is
Wentz
a good.
Sucks.
No, it is. They both suck. What are you talking
Mason
about?
Mason Rudolph's 1,000 times better than Carson Wentz. You're crazy.
I mean, I would rather probably take. If you're making me choose between the two,
I would choose.
Okay, I'll take Rudolph. But
okay, thank you.
But, like, they're both neither option's great. I'm telling you right now, if Levis gets hurt. And they got to go to Rudolph for four. I don't care what the record shows. I don't care what all you Steelers fans are going to tell me.
I think you're crazy.
Like, I'm not convinced. Until I see it, I'm not sold. I'm not convinced.
He played well with the Steelers.
I'm not. Yeah. Okay. He came in a lot of mop-up duty.
Well, he also started some games.
Yeah, but.
Did okay.
There's some throws. You go back and you watch some of it.
They all make bad throws.
You go back and you watch some of it.
They all make bad throws.
Questionable.
Nobody's
throws.
Ever made a perfect throw the entire time. I mean, Marino came close, but that's about it. So, yeah, I will take Mason Rudolph all day over Carson. Did you see that Commander game 2 years ago against the Titans? That was awful. He was absolutely terrible in that game. I mean, I'm sorry he got hurt with the Eagles, and he was a disaster with the Colts. I don't know. I don't know if that's Andy Reid's reclamation project. I don't know. I think there's
the small sample size that there is on Carson Wentz from last season, one game with the L.A. Rams, he was 17 for 24, 163 yards, 70.8% passer completing, and then a passer rating of 99.8 and a QBR of 89.9.
Still sucks.
And they beat the 49ers that game. So just putting that out there.
Why are you making me feel bad?
I'm not. I'm just putting out the stats.
I know. I could do dump off passes all day. I mean, that's less than 10 yards per pass that he got there. I know that's, they need to bubble wrap Mahomes and make sure nothing happens to him, because if something does, this team goes 2-15.
I'm trying to think on the fly here. Who would you consider the best backup quarterback in the league? I got to think of all the QBs that are out there.
Off the top of my head, Joe Flacco and Nick Foles.
Where's Foles?
I don't think he's anywhere. That's the best part about it.
Well, then how does that – I mean, yeah, he's a free agent. I'm talking about, like, that's actually on a team.
Oh, Joe Flacco.
I mean, Flacco is with the Colts.
Who's a backup for Tua? Mike White in Miami? He's pretty good. Is that the guy that went to Western Kentucky? He's not bad.
He did go to Western Kentucky, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's not a – I mean, what I've seen of him, he's not bad, but, I mean, it's – yeah, he's no two. Obviously, these guys are starters for you. What's a cat in Cincinnati? Browning?
Yeah, Jake Browning.
Yeah.
He looked pretty good.
Fantastic.
But, I mean, he was not somebody that, you know, everybody knew.
Right.
Yeah, Mike White. Is Skylar Thompson's the other one. So, it's Skylar Thompson and Mike White are the quarterbacks for Miami right now.
Yeah, so I just think that with that position, I think the Titans did fine with Mason Rudolph. I think they did fine with Mason Rudolph. Compared to what else is out there. I think that, you know, and Callahan talked about how much he liked Mason Rudolph, so I think it works out fine for the football team. Otherwise,
yeah,
it's you and me out there starting.
Which is never good.
I mean, it could be worse. We go to the Titans quarterbacks. You could put Matt Mock out there, who in 2005 was terrible.
1652 says Gardner Minshew. He's pretty good.
I don't,
Cooper Rush, yeah.
I don't know the deal. Why people don't want Gardner Minshew to come here? Like, Titans better not sign him. He's been more than serviceable.
I would have. I had him, but I thought he'd go somewhere and start.
Yeah,
where'd he end up?
Raiders.
Yeah, so he could probably start there.
Well, they like that other guy. Yeah. God, what's that guy? Is the quarterback they had?
Aiden O'Connell.
Yeah, that's him. Yeah. Antonio Pierce really likes him. Plus, Minshew looks like Morgan Wallen. So if he came here, you couldn't figure out who's who.
What do you think about this? 5573 says the best backup right now is Justin Fields. I mean, technically, he's going to be the backup to Russ. Maybe.
Why the Bears hate him so much?
I don't know. I think this whole thing is going to blow up in their face.
They were just a bad football team. I thought the teammates loved him.
I think there's going to be too much other stuff with Caleb Williams. I think he's a talented quarterback. And he's, based on talent alone, he's the consensus number one pick. I just feel like there's a lot of baggage. Like the dad and like all the stuff that's going to come with him.
Where did Josh Dobbs end up again? They all flew out different places. I couldn't keep up.
Well, remember, he goes through about three teams in a, you know, training camp. So
that's why I said he's the best backup quarterback in the league, because he's ran every offense on the scout team for
Wes and Hermitage. Years. We could have done so much better than Rudolph, man. I'll give you some great options. Jacoby Brissett, Joe Flacco, Andy Dalton, Gardner Minshew, all better.
Dalton's under contract, so he's done. Brissett's not bad.
Brissett would have been great.
I wouldn't have paid the money for Flacco, because I still think I'm going to get the New York Jets, Joe Flacco. I think they got lightning in a bottle with Joe Flacco with the Browns. But when Joe Flacco was with the Jets, he was absolutely awful. Awful. That's why when the Browns signed him, I was like, oh God. And he came out and he did well. And you saw in the playoff game, he was terrible. Terrible. But as a backup, they'll pay $8 million for that.
Yeah.
I think they did fine Mason Rudolph.
Dalton is probably top of the backup chain right now. For sure.
But is he with the Panthers still?
Yeah.
Where is he? Yeah.
Yeah, he's Panthers.
Dobbs is with the 49ers.
That's it. Yeah.
49ers making his way across America on every team.
That is right. Coming up next, we'll shift gears to the Predators. They're back in action tonight at Bridgestone Arena. We will talk to Hal Gill. He'll join us next. 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Predators back in action tonight. Don't miss tomorrow night, Smashville Live at Brewhouse South in Cool Springs at 6 o'clock. You can see special guests Spencer Stastny and Mark Jankowski. Get autographs and pictures with them. Smashville Live is brought to you by the Black Abbey Brewing Company and ESPN Bet. Sportsbook. Say hello now to Hal Gill, presented by Duncan, Predators analyst on both Valley Sports on TV and right here on the Predators Radio Network. Skillsy, what's up? How are you?
I'm doing great. Just getting ready for the storm tonight. Hopefully the Preds have a storm of their own.
Yeah, they need that. Yeah, I see what you did there. That's very well done. Look forward to that and much more with you and Lindsay on TV tonight. But this is what Max would dub the Battle of Alberta as one of your former teams comes into town against your other former team?
It's one of them. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, 9 years in Boston. So, yeah, if there's ever one, that would be it.
Is this the kind of game that when you've had a couple of, you know, bad results the last two games, now you're going against one of the best teams in the league once again, is this the kind of game, though, you would want if you're a player, knowing that you're going to get tested right from the jump?
Yes, absolutely. After losing twice, you know, you go on a road trip, and they're not used to losing. They haven't been recently. So I think this game – it gets your attention. There's some elite players like Pastrnak and Marchand, McAvoy, great goaltending, a good solid team up and down. So I think this is a test that it gets your attention, but also you can get back to proving yourself. And as a player and as a team, you want to prove yourself. So this is a good one to do it.
Hal, I always love asking this question every time that you're on. All right, they play the Bruins tonight. Bruins, 101 points, on the top teams in HL. What do you need from the Preds in the first 5-7 minutes of the game tonight? What would you like to see from the Preds?
I think the biggest key I've noticed with the Preds and when they were winning, it was quick closeouts in the D zone and then a fast transition game. And if they weren't getting chances, at least they were getting that forecheck going where they're able to establish the relentlessness that they've shown that they can bring. And so I think it starts with the D zone and getting stops quick. But I think that forecheck and that push through the neutral zone sets up their game. And I think they give teams a ton of problems when they do that well. So I'm looking for a first 5 minutes where they get that fourth line, I'm guessing, starts and they go out and get the crowd into it, get the forecheck going, get some stops in the D zone, and then kind of steamroll off of that the way they have in the past.
Would you like to see this Preds team pissed off tonight after the last two outings?
Absolutely. And pissed off like that, I think, there's different kinds of pissed off, right? You get upset, you're mad, and you go out and try to run someone. I don't think that's their game. I don't think that's their DNA. They want to play a physical game, but it's with the pursuit of the puck. And I think when they talk about, it started with Bruno right when he got here. He said, hey, if we have the puck, we want to keep the puck. We want to play a possession game. But if we don't, we're not defending. We're getting the puck back. And I think that's what gives teams the trouble is when they just keep hounding pucks. And that's the pissed off. Like, that's my puck. I need it back. And we're going to go on the offense again.
We're talking to Hal Gill, presented by Duncan. It's interesting, too, Hal. Boston's a team that, they, as Max put it, they have 15 of the loser points with the overtime losses that they have. They're a team that they're going to fight you not only for 60, but they'll push for the extra time as well. How important, though, is it for the Predators to not let that happen and to get a win in regulation?
Yeah, you know what I call that is Patrice Bergeron really set the tone and the culture in Boston. And I played with him when he was just a rookie and he developed to this great player. He's out this year, but there's still that culture around that they don't quit. They don't stop. And so the Bruins, they'll fight to get points. They'll fight in tooth and nail. I think now you look at a leader like Marchand that's going to compete and he's going to battle right to the end. Everyone else is taking that bit of their culture and put it forward. And so I think they're not afraid to be in tight games. And so they got a lot of loser points, if you want to call them, but those are points nonetheless. And I think any point you get is a big one.
Another guy you played with when he was a rookie in Montreal was PK Subban. He's going to be back in the building tonight. I know everybody's looking forward to that. In fact, I'm told he's going to join the midday show at noon today. So PK coming back to town should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, always. I mean, the guy's a character. You love him, hate him. And I've done both at the same time as he was a rookie coming in the league. And and learning how to behave. He does things different. And so, I think he's a lot of fun to be around. I'm excited to have him. We're going to have him on the desk in the first intermission. And so, it's always fun when PK's around. And everything he's doing now is just all about his personality and his character coming out. And so it's great for hockey to have him around and still doing stuff with the media. But it's going to be fun for us to have him back.
Hal, what was your most memorable moment as a member of the Boston Bruins? Individually, what was your most memorable moment?
Well, don't forget, I grew up in Boston, and that's where I got my dunks. And when I get, when I go to the rink, my first season, I'm going with Ray Bourque. Ray Bourque was a guy I grew up as. He was my idol, and he was my first D partner. Talk about memories. I had a ton of memories, but it all started with just being a hometown boy playing for my home team. And, through 9 seasons, we had some good years, President's trophies. And it was a lot of fun. But I think for as far as memories go is, I had a couple one-timer goals that were fed by my childhood idol, you can't live up to something better than that. That was as good as it got.
Oh, I bet it is. Having your idol do that for you, amazing. Talking to Hal Gill this morning as the Preds take on the Boston Bruins tonight. We talked about them being pissed off when you see the first 10 minutes. Now we're going to turn to goaltending, Hal, and it's got to be pretty spot on tonight, does it? Because this is a good Bruins team they're taking on.
Yeah, well, you have two goalies that I think came off of the lackluster performances, right? So, whoever they go with tonight, I expect they'll be dialed in. The big thing, and what I always admired about Pekka Rinne never had 2 games off. He would be in dialed in the next day, and he'd focus on practice. And I think Juice got that same mentality where it's like, hey, you can have one little slip up, but that's it. You can't go into a slump, and certainly not right now. So I have full confidence. I think the players, more importantly, have full confidence in both of their goalies. And I think assuming Juice goes tonight, I think he's going to be dialed in and ready to go, especially against, like you said, a good team in the Bruins.
He is Hal Gill. He'll be on the desk tonight with Lindsay and also joined by PK Subban. Looking forward to that. Skillsy, thanks as always. We'll see you tonight.
Sounds good, boys. Enjoy it.
Absolutely. Hal Gill joining us every Tuesday at 9:30, presented by Duncan. Predators in action against the Boston Bruins tonight. Max Herz will have the pregame show for you at 6 o'clock. Puck drop just after 7 with Pete Weber and Jay Moore. So looking forward to that. Keep listening. We'll have your chance to win two pairs of tickets to see the Geico 500 at the Talladega Super Speedway coming up later this month. So looking forward to that. Also, tune in to 94.9 The Fan today as Vanderbilt Baseball takes on Western Kentucky. Pregame at 5:45, the first pitch at 6. Vanderbilt Baseball is brought to you by Smoky Mountain Tops, your countertop experts. Visit SmokyMountainTops.com. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Appreciate Hal Gill for joining us. Keep an eye to the sky today. Weather going to get a little bumpy. I'm seeing 1-ish for our area, I think, somewhere in that range. I know it's kind of hit or miss when it comes to the weather, but I know that Fox 17, our partners, we are under a code red today. Tornadoes are possible across Middle Tennessee and Kentucky, so just be weather aware and keep it right here. We'll keep you in the know with everything going on when it does move through our area later this afternoon.
So, do you know where the phrase batten down the hatches came from?
I do not. You're going to tell me, though.
From the practice aboard a ship of sealing hatches to prevent water getting below decks in a storm by using covers secured by strips of material called battens firmly attached to the frame of the hatch opening. There we got batten down the hatches.
Hmm.
So, it's a meaning coming
from
a ship. You do that. So we'll.
I feel like a lot of sayings that we have come from ships, maritime stuff.
What's another one?
Well, that's I just feel like there's probably more.
Do you know where Saved by the Bell came from? I found this fascinating.
No.
So I guess in London at some point in the late 1700s, they buried people that weren't dead, and they were passed out. They thought they were dead, so they would so for a while they would tie a string around your hand. You were like in the ground. And if you moved, the bell would ring. So you're saved by the bell.
And they would know to dig you back up.
And that's where the graveyard shift came from. Somebody would work the graveyard. And if that rang, the bell rang. It's a true story. You can look it up. Hmm. And it was like, all right, that's where graveyard shift and saved by the bell came from.
Okay. Do you know where the term southpaw came from?
Yes. Your grandpa was from the south and liked to fight left-handed.
No, not quite.
Oh, where's it from?
But it's baseball. Okay. Because on the mound, on the pitcher's mound, a lefty would always face the south.
Really? So,
I think at Wrigley Field, there's a tie in there. It was kind of where it started. But, yeah, basically it's that because they're facing the south.
Okay. Well, see, I did not know that. Well done.
You know what's funny? We could be making all this crap up right now, but we're not.
No, we're live on the radio.
We are.
I mean, there's a few people who are listening right now.
We don't make anything up.
No, not at all. So batting down the hatches, southpaw, graveyard shift, saved by the bell, and all that.
The more you know, the more you learn.
Yes.
Here on the Chasing Big Joe.
Tomorrow's going to be freezing, or Thursday, whatever. It's going to be like 35 degrees.
Well, that's why I'm kind of nervous, because I walk out and it's like hot and muggy this morning. And it's like, you know, what's moving in, the weather, is a cold front. And when cold it meets hot, it's not good.
Right.
So it's like, okay. I mean, we're watching it right now. And, you know, there's already some storms kind of moving in. Camden,
way,
Dixon.
Buddy.
I mean, but that's not the severe stuff. That's just, but there's a lot of lightning. Good Lord.
Your precious.
A lot of schools are closing.
Oh, yeah. Well, they should. I mean, that's why not? And people are yelping about that. Your precious baseball started out. And are you paying attention to baseball?
Of course I am.
How are your Braves doing here? Let's see down the list.
3-1. Yeah, they're 3-1. There was a no hitter last night, too. So already a no hitter.
Wow, so the Marlins starting off strong. They're 0-5. Mets 0-4. And then the Yankees are 5-0. I'm sure all these wannabe Yankee fans out there are like, yo, Yankees.
Ronel Blanco wasn't even supposed to be part of Houston's rotation. He wasn't even a starter until last year. Throws the first no-hitter of the year last night.
10th Dominican pitcher of all time.
Oh, wow. First.
Juan something. I can't Marshall? Remember last. No, I can't remember his last name.
Okay. Yeah, good knowledge there, Doctor. Tigers, Detroit Tigers are 4-0. We should adopt. Now you already got your team. Maybe I'll adopt.
Yeah, I'm not adopting a team. I'm good with my team.
The Pirates were my sneaky team this year. They're currently 5-0.
They are.
I think the NL Central is going to be interesting.
Yeah.
Like the Reds are good. The Pirates are going to be better. I think the Brewers are decent. Cardinals should be. You know,
no.
You don't think so?
I think they're going to be like bottom two. If best case
I thought
scenario,
last year was kind of fluky, though. Like they just had some injuries to start and they just got away from him.
Yeah, they did have some injuries and they kind of started the same this year with Tommy Edman and Dylan Carlson. But the pitching rotation is just, it's older than half the senior living here in Nashville.
I mean,
these guys can't even, they need a walker to get up to the pitchers.
You think the Cubs will be better?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, the way their bats are hitting, like, it's been great. I think, personally, the sleeper pick for me is the Milwaukee Brewers to win the Central.
Mm. Look at you.
I like the Reds.
Question for both of y'all. Who was in the World Series last year?
Texas Rangers.
And?
Arizona Diamondbacks.
Diamondbacks. Good job, guys.
Yeah. Teamwork.
Ranger, was it 4-0 or
5-1? 4-0.
I think it was a sweep. Yeah, Rangers.
Okay,
Rangers
good. Play. Yeah.
And the ALCS was Rangers Astros.
That's right. Who was in LCS?
Phillies.
In Arizona.
In Arizona.
Yeah.
It's one of those things where it's so fresh off our memory that it's hard to kind of, as we saw yesterday with Chase and the Daytona 500.
It was impressive.
Thank you very much.
So was that text that we got in. It was even funnier.
Yeah. I get 10 wrong. I hate the Phillies. I just want everybody to know that.
Why?
Because they are one of the arch rivals of the Atlanta Braves.
Okay.
And so I hate them.
Something impressive about the Braves.
I hate Bryce Harper. I think he's a
Didn't he move here, Bryce Harper? Somebody said he moved here.
Well, I don't care.
Did
he's
he?
A cocky Harper? Little you know what. And I used to like Kyle Schwarber. Now he pisses me off. You know, and everybody else they got, Castellanos, all of them, they suck. So
you're mad at Bryce Harper because he's good and he's cocky.
I hate the Phillies. Okay. And Bryce Harper has played for two teams that I am sworn to hate as a Braves fan. and the Nationals and the Phillies.
All right.
It's just like David Wright. I couldn't stand David Wright when he played for the Mets.
But if Bryce Harper, by chance, is traded to the Braves.
I wouldn't be happy. I would not be happy about it.
Really?
I don't like him. I just think he's cocky and arrogant and just kind of a jerk.
Oh, wow.
What the Braves have right now, they have consistent hitting. Bryce Harper, to me, is not a consistent
hitter. And, like, here's the other thing, too. I think Ronald Acuna, he's obviously the MVP, reigning MVP, and a heck of a player. I don't love Ronald Acuna's personality. Like, it pisses me off whenever he doesn't run out to first. And he's gotten benched a few times for that. But, like, to me, that is the number one rule of baseball. You run it out. Sure. I don't care. I don't care if you barely tap the ball and it goes right in front of you. You run your ass to first base. And he doesn't do that.
He got benched, right?
He's gotten benched a couple times for it.
For that, yeah. Good.
Snicker doesn't put up with that crap. Well, so, I don't know. You know who else doesn't put up with that crap?
Who's that,
Rick
pal?
Sweet, manager of the Nashville Sounds.
He doesn't.
Well, I might bring that up with him. Like, hey, what do you do if that doesn't happen? We'll talk to Rick Sweet. It is the home opener of the Nashville Sounds. We'll do that next. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.